Manuscript Releases, Volume 17, Numbers 1236 to 1300. M.R. Number 1239. True Higher Education. Appeal to Work the Cities. Wives to Receive Remuneration for Their Gospel Work. Written October 27, 1909, from Sanitarium, California, to Daniels. I have commenced several letters to you, but other matters that needed attention came in, and your letter was not finished. I have been instructed to present to our people very definitely the difference between the higher education, so called by the world, and that which the Lord regards as the higher education. In the instruction which the Lord gives, there is nothing fraudulent. It is true and safe instruction. Our study of the Word of God will help us to a right understanding of this matter. The psalmist David wrote, Psalm 32, verse 5 to 11, quoted, "Let us study also the 33rd Psalm. It contains precious instruction for those who wish to understand the way of the Lord. In this instruction, men are encouraged to proclaim to their fellow men the exalted privilege of expressing the divine image in thought and deed. There is no encouragement for self to manifest itself in large proportions, but encouragement is given that the Lord will impress and refine and purify the heart and mind and life. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee." Verses 18 to 22. In our individual experience, we need to learn the meaning of true sanctification, because we have laid our ways and our will upon God's altar to be purified and refined and ennobled. This is pure religion. I am instructed to keep constantly before the people of God the divine favor to be obtained by seeking the Lord in faith and humility of soul. There is a deeper experience for each one of us to gain. If we will seek the Lord in humble confession of our sins, it will be seen by all that we are coming up on a higher platform. Our words and works will be of a character to reflect light. Selfishness will be extinguished, and nobility of soul will shine forth in works of righteousness. Oh, that every soul might look into the gospel mirror and reflect the divine attributes there revealed. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Psalm 37, verse 3 to 7. I am instructed to urge these words upon the minds of all who have had the light of present truth. The Lord has appointed angels to be our ministering spirits, that the powers of evil shall not destroy us. These words were spoken to me. The faith and works of my professed people fall far short of the assurances I have given them. In these words you may find assurance that the Lord will do for us all that he has promised, if we will do our part to obey all his righteous requirements. It has been presented to me that there must be a cleansing of heart and mind and soul from every evil thing. Unbelief must be put away, and the professing believer must bring into his daily life the principles of the Word of God. I am instructed to say to the workers in our offices of publication, "You may be very zealous for the publication and sale of our books and papers, but this will not make you acceptable in the sight of God, if the warnings and strivings of His Spirit are unheeded. It is individual sanctification through the truth that God requires, that His name may be glorified. Again and again, I have repeated the instruction the Lord has given me concerning the opening of new fields, that our large cities might hear the truths of the third angel's message. Yet with all the urgent calls that have been made, our brethren are not yet turning their attention to this work with the determination and earnestness that the importance of the case demands. A great work will be done in our cities when more earnest plans are laid for the furtherance of the cause of present truth in these places.
We would release some of the workers that are now tied up in those places where many interests are centering, that they may go out as missionaries to communicate the truth to others. Not only should the workers in these centers be devoting their energies and means to the sending out of our publications, but they should also feel the importance of spending a portion of their money in supporting the living preacher in the cities, where labor wisely expended will be very effective. The printed page cannot accomplish alone the work that the living minister can do. He can explain the scriptures to the people, praying with them and appealing to them, and making effective the truths of the Bible. Not merely one or two men are called to do this work, but many men and women who have ability to preach and teach the word. As the messengers of God teach the word and live themselves by its truths, heavenly angels will set home the word to minds and hearts. One living discourse to a congregation of hearers may do a work that many publications could not accomplish. The minister's words, spoken under the Holy Spirit's guidance, his example in his association with the people, will accomplish a work that our publications of themselves cannot do. If necessary, let us limit the number of our periodical publications, and let us send forth men and women to labor in faith and consecration for the giving of this last message of mercy to the world. When it is possible, let the minister and his wife go forth together. The wife can often labor by the side of her husband, accomplishing a noble work. She can visit the homes of the people and help the women in these families in a way that her husband cannot. Some will offer themselves for service who are not adapted to this line of work. Direct these to a work that they can do, and encourage them to study the first chapter of 2 Peter. Here is a representation of the experiences that will fit men and women to become efficient workers for God. Select women who will act an earnest part. The Lord will use intelligent women in the work of teaching. And let none feel that these women, who understand the word and who have ability to teach, should not receive remuneration for their labors. They should be paid as verily as are their husbands. There is a great work for women to do in the cause of present truth. Through the exercise of womanly tact and a wise use of their knowledge of Bible truth, they can remove difficulties that our brethren cannot meet. We need women workers to labor in connection with their husbands, and should encourage those who wish to engage in this line of missionary work. Elder Haskell and his wife have united their labors in the California Conference. Conditions here demanded the capabilities of both. Let none question the right of Sister Haskell to receive remuneration for her work. Dr. Kress and his wife are likewise capable of uniting in missionary effort. None would question the right of Sister Kress to receive a salary. Laboring thus, Brother and Sister Kress can accomplish more than if they labored separately. Study the scriptures for further light on this point. Women were among Christ's devoted followers in the days of his ministry, and Paul makes mention of certain women who were helpers together with him in the gospel. The Lord has shown me that there is a work to be done in the cities that is scarcely entered upon. This question of the work in the cities is to become a living question with us.
We must not now lay plans for a long, extended work. The message is to be carried quickly. The long delay in carrying out the instruction of the Lord regarding work in the cities has made the work of reaching all classes more difficult. The work must be undertaken at once, and the Lord calls for consecrated laborers who will engage in earnest effort according to the light He has given. Centers are to be made in many places. Our work is a worldwide one. Let evidences of the Holy Spirit's working upon our hearts be seen in our taking hold of this work in simplicity and in the power of God. Let us follow without delay the instruction of the Lord to prepare the cities for the coming of Christ. Ellen G. White Estate, Washington, D.C., April 6, 1987. Entire letter.